Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of SNP Schneider-Neureither & Partner SE. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand over to Michael Wasko, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Yeah, well, thank you, operator, and welcome everybody to our conference call on our Q3 numbers for 2021. As you might have seen, we published this morning our Q3 report and the corresponding corporate news. Both documents can be found, as usual, on our IR website. Here you can also find the presentation for this call, which we prepared. As usual, today with us in this call, our CFO, Heiner Dieffenbach, and our CEO, Michael Eberhardt, who will give you some more details on the results and on our expectations for the rest of the year. Yes, with this introducing words, I will hand over to you, Michael.
Thanks, Marcel. Thanks for the introduction. Welcome also from my side. Let me just go to the agenda, to page number two. We have prepared three areas. I will give you a short overview about the business order entry, how did we do on the regional perspective. Heiner will give then a detailed update about the financials. I will close the presentation with an outlook, and then we should have enough time to go through Q&As and answer your questions. If I go to page number three, I think our Q3 was a very, let's say, in a very solid, but also in one area, a little bit of a mixed, yeah, quarter. Our revenue grow by roughly 15% in the first nine months. This was driven on the one side organically, which was around 6%, and then we also got a tailwind through the acquisition of EXA and the Datavard AG. Our software revenue went up only slightly, but this was, let's say, very much caused by a one-time, very big one-time impact in fiscal year 2020, where we signed a deal with Fujitsu, a partner deal with an upfront license of 50 million euro, which contributed 50 million order entries and 7.5 million revenue and profit at the same time, which was now, and this is, I think, the one side which hits us, that the quarter-over-quarter comparison shows. I personally see this shows our Q3 in a little bit of a, let's say, incorrect light. Also from the order side, this was a one-time 50 million order entry, which we did not sign this quarter, and we decided already last quarter not to do any upfront deals anymore. Because this upfront deals did cost us, let's say this was right for the first two years to get our partner business up and running. Now we need to focus on recurring ongoing revenue, and therefore we said, okay, upfront deals we will not make anymore, at least not when it comes to, let's say, in alignment with partners. On the partner side, on the customer side, it's a different story. The service was also positively impacted by the EXA AG and the Datavard AG. Main of the allocation was towards the service, but I think Heiner will maybe go through this. At the end, we believe that both Datavard and EXA has a significant software business, but let's say in the first instance, we booked most of the service or most of the business in the service area. Our profit improved by 1.5 million to 1.8 million on the back of the higher top line and some improved cost ratios. I think, Heiner, maybe you will stress this later on as well. We also carried a lot of costs, so we did not show here any non-IFRS numbers. But when you sell a business, when you acquire two business, we had a significant amount of cost, a one-time cost, which we did not show separately. The real operating result, which we would be significantly better. Our group order entry for the first nine months was on a positive book-to-bill, but it went down, and I think it was we had two different issues. In the first two quarters, our issue was in the U.S., and you will see this later. Order entry in the U.S., I think we have now a proof of concept that our strategy is working. Q3 was really good, and Q4 looks even better in the U.S., but we have seen some weaknesses in Central Europe. caused by two big customer slippages, which are together only 10 million. And then we also had we have seen a trend, which was customers are deciding, hey, we do this project with you, but we start with a proof of concept. And then we could not sign a big deal, but we only get a couple of hundred cases to do a proof of concept, which is normally not a problem because we get the contract anyhow later on. But we lost a little bit of a spirit. And this was really new for us, a big surprise in Q3, that customers are not going directly for the big deal, but step by step. And we will specify at the end our guidance to make it more transparent to you. So if we go to page number 4, here I need to say there is one issue in the order entry. There is 10 million order entry missing on the picture because the team said on the bottom, it's including EXA AG and DataWatt AG, but all the others, we only show the regional distribution. The 10 million is EXA, DataWatt, the Erst, and Innoplexia. They are not shown here. So that means if you count this one, it does not sum up to 131 million. It only sums up to something like 120 million. But our total number is right. There's only one graphic missing, which is others. So you see on the order entry side, Central Europe with 60.2 million minus 11% is the problem, was slightly the problem in Q2, but was really getting now the challenge in Q3. I see a very positive Q4. We have a very solid pipeline. One of the deals which slipped, we got a written confirmation from the customer now, in the meantime. So I think they can recover some of them in Q4, we need to look at the trend if customers are splitting the big deals and really going more wave to wave. But in principle, the business is absolutely working. EMEA did a great job. You see they have a huge increase of 36% on to 25.4 million. This was, we pushed them very hard to get, let's say, this business up and running and to sell this business now to Alpha One. At the same time, they also participated on a bigger deal, which we have sold here in Central Europe, which was delivered significantly out of the Polish business. LATAM is doing good on the order entry side and on the revenue side. We still have a challenge to make this business highly profitable, very much caused by this significantly currency fluctuation and also getting the people, let's say, focused not on the crisis and all the personal matters, but really focus on the business and drive this forward. But order entry and also, let's say, the quality of the service is great. We just need to work to get this business to a, let's say, solid bottom line performance. US, you see, they are now, let's say, they catched up the very weak Q1 and the very weak Q2. And they are now slightly above last year, and they will be, I guess, significantly above by the end of this year with a very strong pipeline, a very good running partner business. So this is really a proof of concept that this works. JPEG, very solid in Q1, Q2, a little bit weaker in Q3, but a very good list of very big customer opportunities with where we have already a couple of verbal agreements. So should be also on a positive side then on Q3. And then UK, big challenge, but getting better. We signed now in the first week of Q4, we signed a couple of deals. We have a new MD from Deloitte. I personally believe this will be fixed in the next quarter. Now, if we go to page number 5, here you see the distribution region by region between the software, the revenue distribution. You see on the one side the service and the software. So let me start on Central Europe. It's on the revenue side, plus 12% year over year. 30% comes from the software, 70% comes from the services. And we see that, and you see that this is our traditional business where we started, let's say, more with a service business. When you compare this to the U.S., let me just go to the U.S., you see that the U.S. is selling much more, let's say, a software business at that point of time. But the ratio 47 to 53 was because they did not sell a lot of service business. This will be different when it comes to the revenue in Q4. We signed a big deal with DuPont with something like $3.5 million, where 70% is services. The team will be fully utilized in Q4 and also for Q1 with the backlog we generated. So that means that the software service mix will move, as we said, towards, let's say, a 50-50 model, but we said always this will be our target to be in 2025 with a 50-50 model on the street. And in the US, they do a lot of good business now with partners. On the revenue side, Q4 should participate from the strong Q3. Eastern Europe, 19.5 million. This was the last quarter where we show you Eastern Europe because this business, as you said, is sold now to Oracle One. And we will consolidate part of the profit, but not the revenue anymore because we only keep 49% in the books of S&P. LATAM, good increase, 33% on the revenue side. And this is something which is really astonished. The traditional SAP business is even somehow easier to do at that point of time compared to transformation. We in LATAM and in Eastern Europe, we see that the smaller customers are moving really good to S/4HANA, the smaller enterprise deals, the big ones where we have our transformation, let's say, skills, and where we get where we can differentiate better, are still, let's say, not really in a rush to move from ECC to S/4. So even if SAP announced, let's say, a significant amount of transformation, when you read the SAP announcement, I guess 60% or something like this was written in the statement, was driven by new customers, which are normally much smaller customers at the end. And this is also the area we just signed a new deal last night in LATAM, where we do S4 migrations, but for, let's say, medium-sized and general business customer, not the big enterprise or the strategy accounts, where we normally drive our strong transformation business. JTEC is only more or less only in the transformation business, good increase with 68%. And I see this also going forward as a stable trend. Pipeline is solid. We have a good business in JPEG and in Australia, good business in Japan, and an improved transformation business also in China. And then UKE, when the order entry is weak, your revenue will also go down. This was partly caused by our, let's say, lack of management in the UK, partly also by the economic challenges in this area. But what I can say, the good thing is we signed a couple of deals now with partners, and the partner business, I see acceleration here, and with Pete coming from Deloitte, he understands his business in detail. So I guess that this problem is fixed going forward. So then on the partner business, we signed a couple of new deals. First of all, we agreed with Accenture in Europe that we will build up a joint factory for data transformation along a couple of customers, shared customers, customers from Accenture, and some of the customers also coming from us. We got a good momentum with IBM, I would say in almost all regions. And IBM, I think we stressed this last time already, IBM is not only IBM, it's IBM on the one side, but it's also IBM Cloud, which is really helping us to move to move SAP to IBM Cloud, which is highly accepted by the customers. And then with Kyntrel, we have now a total new opportunity to analyze, for example, their assets, because they would like to transform their business towards a more profitable business going forward. They asked us to do all the analysis and the transformation in this area. So I think this really helps us to make this business with IBM much more transparent. And our first tranche will end by the end of May 2022. And as of today, we see that we will fulfill on both sides the commitments we have given to each other. But it was a painful journey, as you said. So it was not, but it was for sure under our expectation in terms of speed and quality, and for sure quantity as well. But we see these improvements. Then we have new partnerships with PwC and TCS. We signed a very nice deal in the U.S. with NextEra together with PwC, one of the big utility in the U.S. We signed a deal with Westinghouse, with IBM. So this partner business really starts in a very positive way. Then we shift from partner recruitment to partner enablement. I think we said this time. And what we said is we will not do any upfront deals anymore with partners. We go for the might and more principle. That means if the customer is selling more, he gets more discount. But we will not give him a high discount at the beginning when he is giving us a financial commitment for, let's say, 2 years, 1 year, 5 years, whatever, because this is really, let's say, makes the year-over-year comparison difficult. And we have it clear in the market. I think it's very well accepted that S&P is the partner for at least for all complex data transformation areas. So and then we have cross enablement of DataWatt and S&P partners. There are not a lot of, let's say, common partners. So one is Accenture, so where we had both a good partnership. We brought this together. I think the integration of DataWatt is anyhow running good in all areas with very limited hiccups in this area. It's easy to do. It was not a very big deal in the U.S., was not a big deal in JPEG. It was a little bit of a bigger deal here in Central Europe and in R&D. I think it's a very good add-on. And from the portfolio side, I think we see, and this is something which is very interesting, we have now together we can offer much more attractive extended offering from data transformation up to data management and analytics. And this is really an opportunity just to scale faster going forward. The partner revenue grow by 19%. It's 90% of our group revenue, but you see the order entry is with 26%. What we see, and this is also learning, to influence order entry in a partner-driven business, it's really much more difficult because you need to convince the customer, and then the customer is signing the deal with the partner, and then when this deal is signed, the partner will sign the deal with you. That means to really manage this in the quarterly thinking, it's really getting tough. So we did not lose, let's say, a significant amount of deals, but we had a significant amount of slippages also in the partner business because the partner did maybe get the contract from the partner, from the customer, but then he said, okay, he needs to finalize first his, let's say, internal approval process before he can start signing a deal with us, and then he signed a different deal with the customer. And we had to rework our contract because the customer, the partner asked for an end-to-end contract. And this was something we did not expect. Here you see and when you go to page number 7, you see the partner network. These are only partners, the uppercase, which we have signed in 2021. I think All for One is not true because All for One was just an extension of a commitment. An increase of a commitment, not an extension. All the other ones was, let's say, Rackspace, for example, was a new one. We signed something with Entity Data, with Cognizant and PwC, I just mentioned already. Swisscom is really starting to get a really good partnership. We terminated the old contract, and we signed a new partner agreement, which is more fit for purpose. And then also interesting is Tata Consulting, because they are, when you look to the S4, top Magic Quadrant, which is coming from Gartner, who are the number one S4 service in SAP S/4HANA system integrator. It's Deloitte and Accenture as number one, both head on head. So you can say, okay, it's the one is one, the other is two, but it's changing. And then TCS is the biggest challenger. IBM is number four in this area. So, and if you go to page number 8, you see our weighted pipeline and unweighted pipeline on the left side, the partner channel. So we have a significantly increased 52% on the pipeline, unweighted pipeline compared to 2020, with now in total 123 million. We have in direct sales, we increased it by 37% with 252 million. And on the right side, you see also the distribution across the different industry, different regions. But here already you can see when you look to the Americas is now, let's say, 40% of the European business, which is it's really significantly. And also JPEG is doing very well in this partner enablement and also in building up the pipeline direct and indirect. So this really looks good. That means we have also a good mix between the partner business and the direct business. Then on page number 9, you see our headcount development. Don't be shocked at the end that we have now 1,762 employees. This was only for something like until the end of September 2021. When you go to the bottom line, we have in the meantime, we moved 420 employees to All for One. That means our actual number is something like 1,340 employees going forward. And then on the right side, you see the mix of the people. We have 50% in the consulting business, 12% in sales and marketing, 11% in R&D, And then we have one big area with 26%, which is administration, sales operations, students, trainees, and all the rest. And Heiner is working hard to get this number down so that we still work on our cost improvement, where we also made very good progress going forward. But again, as I said, some of the cost improvements, what we did, were eaten up in Q3 by all this acquisition and selling off of our Polish business. So, Heiner, with that, I hand over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Michael, and hello, everybody, from my side, too. Before I start talking about the numbers, I would like to come back to Michael's point about the upfront partner deals. As Michael explained, last year, and especially in Q3, we signed this big partner deal, and you have to take into account that we changed our approach, and we will not show upfront revenue with partners pretty much anymore. We will be focused, of course, upfront or one-time license sales in the corporate area. This will be shown, but not in the partner. So I might later on reflect on numbers also without this partner upfront deal, so you can really see and get a feeling how we are improving, and I think it's quite significant. The other topic is what Michael just were talking about, is the costs related to the acquisition of EXA and DataWart, and also costs for the sale of our Poland activity. And total, I would say we spent roughly spoken in this area on the EBIT figure an effect of 3 million, of which 1.3 million is really M&A costs for lawyers, M&A advisors, and so on. So having explained that, I would like to focus first on our revenues. And if you look at our revenues, we're even if you take into account this upfront deal in the last quarter of last year, we are still growing. And even if you deduct the EXA and DataWart effect of roughly spoken 5 million in Q3, we are still 8% growing in Q3. And overall, over the 9 months, it's if you deduct the EXA and DataWart effect, it's 6%. So we are showing, from my point of view, quite a good growth, organic growth. And if you deduct the software upfront deal in the last year, I think it's even more. Our operating results, even in the EBIT area, improved too. And if you take into account the 3 million, I think it's a significant improvement compared to last year's. And this has something to do with our cost ratios, which you can see on page 12, as Michael already explained. We are really pushing our costs, and you can see improvements in all of the areas. Even we are going up in absolute numbers regarding the selling area. We are down by the percentage in selling down to 13.6%, and we were, by the end of the fiscal year, 14.6%. So in all other areas, we have reduced, from my point of view, sometimes significantly, even or especially in general and administration. And this created at one effect, of course, improved EBITDA, and the reductions also in absolute numbers, for example, in marketing and general administration, is despite the fact that we have really also almost 15 million more of revenue. If we now look on page 13, you see the segment service, and what I would like to point out again is that in the first instance, we have put the revenues of EXA into the service segment, and we are rethinking about this allocation because we believe the EXA acquisition was really driven by the intention to improve our software area. Nevertheless, EXA is, of course, performing a significant number of over 6 million here with services. But these are services, they are so close to software, and we cannot sell the software without the service. and the service will not be there without software. So we believe it should be named as software-related services and maybe allocated to the software segment. But that's something we will have a closer look over it during Q4. Having said this, if we're going to look at the software segment, and if you take into account an improvement of EXA, for example, if we would have allocated this to on the revenue side, for example, of almost 7 million, and you take out the upfront deal over from last year, this will show really a major improvement in our software segment, which is not really seen by absolute numbers. So I think we need to reflect that more in details, maybe throughout our annual report. I would like now to change to page number 15, the order entries were already presented by Michael, by regions. Our order entry is down, yes, of course, but as I said before, please take into account this major upfront partner deal last year. Nevertheless, our order backlog is going up some 40% almost, which is from our point of view really a good start for a great growth opportunity for Q4 and also maybe for the next year. On page 16, you see the reconciliation of our order backlog, which is a good exercise from my understanding to give you a good understanding and insight where the backlog is coming from and how we achieved order entry compared to the revenue. And you can see we built it up some 10 million out of higher order entry than revenue, and another roughly spoken 12 to 15 million because of volume adjustments and order backlog we got through the acquisition of EXA and DataVart. I would like now to jump to our balance sheet structure and the cash flow statements, and both balance sheet and the cash flow is really reflecting our acquisition of EXA and DataVart, and some aspects round about the Poland sales, which you can see on the balance sheet, for example, in the line assets held for sale. This is pretty much the sale of our Polish subsidiary. But you can see on the cash side, the reduction is because of the DataVart acquisition, and also because of DataVart and the acquisition of EXA, our goodwill and intangible assets increased. And this is bottom line, really, the increase of our total assets of roughly spoken 56 million, which is something like 27%. Same thing is on the equity and liabilities on page 18. Of course, you will see the equity, even equity is higher than by the end of the last fiscal year because of the increased total assets. Our capital ratio is really down from 42% to 37%. I think also important to recognize is the current financial liabilities. This is because we need to reclassify our liabilities from a promissory note of 26 million from non-current into current financial liabilities. The cash flow statement, as I said before, really driven by the acquisition, and I would say also by a good performance in Q3. So you can see for Q3 a good positive operating cash flow. So the cash outs really from investing is reflecting our acquisitions of EXA and DataVart. And the same thing is on the working capital. That's also increased mainly or partially due to the acquisition of EXA and DataVart. Yeah, having explained that, I would like to hand over back to Michael for our outlook 2021.
Okay, thanks, Hannah. So, and let's go to page number 21, which is the last one. We will slightly adapt or complete our guidelines for the rest of 2021. So when we look to the group revenue, we said last time that we will achieve something between 170 to 190 million. We see, as of today, we see a very good pipeline for Q4, but with the experience in Q3, our estimate is that we achieve a revenue between 170 million up to 180 million. Then on the group EBITDA, we decreased a little bit the top line, which was 18 to 24 in the last previous outlook. This new outlook is now 18 to 22 million. And then on the profit side, I personally believe that we will see a very strong Q4 on the profit side. But since the first 9 months was not as we expected, and this is all EFS and not non-EFS, so we decided not to start with, let's say, taking all the rest of the costs, which are not directly linked to the operational business, to show them separately. Our profit EBIT margin will be more in the size of 5 to 7%. That is the, let's say, the reworked or the concrete guidance for the rest of the year. So we are not on the bottom, but we are also not on the top of what we have said at the beginning of the year. So then the last one, I think the financial calendar is something we can, Marcel, I think you do this, right? Well, we even don't need to do it. So I give it back to Marcel. Marcel? Okay, then let's go
yes,
back
to... Yes, here I am. Back to the operator. Sorry, I was on mute.
Now we begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. We have a first question. It's from Wolfgang Specht, Bernberg. The line is now open for you.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. Two questions from my side to start with. First, on the order intake for the full year, I have in mind that you guided something of around 200 million or even above for the whole year. Now you're saying 184 last year and strong growth. So should we rather expect that the figure could end below 200 million?
And the second
Then on integration costs, you said you do not put it aside as a one-off. But anyway, are there more, integration costs to follow in the fourth quarter, or is, most of it done?
So I know I take the first one, if you take the second one, okay?
Yeah, fine.
So on the first one, we said we will overachieve our order entry from fiscal year 2020, and this is still the case. So we did not adapt on the order entry side. So the Q4 could be, with what we have seen so far and on the pipeline, and let's say the maturity of the of our pipeline deal by deal, and I have weekly calls now with each region where we go through all the biggest opportunities. And they are really very good ones. We talked about this enterprise platform. We have really a couple of very good deals, which are not only ready to be signed, but I think they will be signed. But with what we have seen in Q3, you never know. But let's say if this gets a normal behavior in the market, then we should achieve the 200 million or close to the 200 million or even overachieve the 200 million order entry. What we did is, what Heiner said is, we will be very conservative on everything which is, showing something which is in the future. Even if we could do it, we will be, let's say, as conservative as possible when it comes to partner, so that we are not, that we get really a significantly growing quarter by quarter by quarter by quarter by quarter. That is what we would like to demonstrate to you. And therefore, this kind of one-time impact made our, let's say, quarter-over-quarter comparison always difficult. And this is, we do not have a lot of deals, but we have four or five deals in history which are really hitting us in this area. And by the way, for example, we sold something like 5 million order entry in the first 9 months, which we could not show because we have shown this already in the years before. So that means we get hit on all level. We get hit on the order entry side, we get hit on the revenue side, we get hit on the profit side. And therefore we said, okay, let's stop this. The idea why we did this was, if a partner gives us a commitment, then he needs to take it serious, and he will be, let's say, more interested to get this really, to make this happen. And I think, even if the result financially is difficult, from a let's say starting up this business, it was the right strategy to do it this way. But now we have almost all big system integrator as a partner of us, so therefore we stop this. But order entry wise, I guess we will see the best quarter in what we had so far in S&P. Heiner, back to you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Mr. Specht, about the integration costs and M&A activity costs, they are pretty much reflected until year to date. So, of course, we will have some integration costs in Q4 for sure, but we believe that this will be compensated by synergy effects of more sales and anyway other cost reductions which we are working on. So I don't expect a major impact anymore, except purchase price accounting. This is something we will see for the next couple of years anyway.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question is by Lukas Spang, Tigris Capital. The line is now open for you.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. My first question is related to contract assets. We saw an increase again in Q3 versus Q2, and also very strong increase compared to end of 2020. So what is your plan in terms of cash conversion? Because you book the revenue, you book it into contract assets, but there is no cash inflow. So what is your planning in terms of cash inflow from contract assets in Q4?
Okay. For the example, and I have explained that in the past, it's regarding, for example, the IBM contract. It depends when we have sold or together with our partner have created a new contract with the client. We receive the money once the client has paid. This is in one area. The other one, for example, with our partner All for One, we are by far much quicker. So there is expected a positive cash flow. So my personal expectation is that the contract assets will go down. Maybe not so much in Q4, because all the deals we will close in Q4, we will see the cash inflow in Q1. But I think your point is really right. We need to concentrate and turn our contract assets into cash.
And could you give us a rough indication for cash inflows in Q4 from this?
I would expect something like 3 to 4 million.
Okay. And then on the pipeline you showed us now, if I compare it to Q2, especially in the direct sales pipeline, you reduced the pipe very strong, and also partner pipe was lower. And if you remember the last calls, you talked about cleanup effects, so I would assume that the cleanup effects were done in Q2 and Q1, so there should be something else in Q3 which should explain this strong decrease versus Q2. Can you explain this?
You mean only in the direct side, right?
Especially in the direct side, pipeline. But also on the pipeline from partners.
Okay, can we tell? I need to look at a little bit in parallel. Can I answer this later on? What number did we show you in I do not have the press. Do you guys have the presentation Q2, Andy?
Yeah. At the end of Q2, you presented 28.4 million in direct sales pipeline, and now you show us 152.4. So that's more than 100 million less, and also in the partner channel, 123 now versus 187 at the end of June. Okay, good. And the third question would be, you shortly mentioned the topic of enterprise solutions. In the last call, you mentioned that you see about 25 customer opportunities in this area. Could you realize some of them already in Q3, and what is your assumption for Q4 on this topic?
The assumption on Q4 is that we do roughly 3 to 4 enterprise deals. One is very close to get signed, and we have five or six in the pipeline. So we signed an enterprise platform. E.ON was already this kind of enterprise platform agreement. The idea started with E.ON, which we did, let's say, very early this year. So that's I think what we see, the acceptance is 25 deals we demonstrated to you, is this was even increasing now to roughly 30. But these are opportunities which are coming, let's say, in the next 12 to 24 months. So our expectation is to close 3 to 4 for the rest of this year. And I think with three, we have a very mature negotiation phase, which should happen for sure. Yeah. Then on your pipeline, what I looked, I think we changed the way how we showed it. I think what we have shown you in Q2 was a rolling 4-quarter, and this was is not longer the rolling quarter. This is the pipeline for the rest of the year. Is this right? Marcel, are you on?
That's totally right. That's the point. But we didn't change it for Q2, it was the same pattern,
it was
the same structure.
Longer time period. Yeah, it was longer.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. So that's the point.
Okay, but then this should be a learning. Can we put this on mm-hmm. the slide, that this is the fiscal year 2021 or the actual fiscal year pipeline? So it's not rolling for the next. It's not rolling for the next 12 months. And if you do this in Q4, you have only one quarter left. Therefore, it should be less.
Yeah, we should mention the number of months covering here.
Okay, understood. Yeah. Maybe one short final question. It's about SAP Rise. SAP is telling us that momentum is rising up in this area. So what about you? I think you talked about this topic also on the last call. Can you profit also from this area, or what is your current status about SAP Rise?
Yep. So you need to differentiate on the number of, let's say, on the customer size. So when you look to the SAP report, it's totally clear that you see a lot of smaller customers are moving to Rise immediately, and we are also participating here. How do we participate? We participate on the one side with our deal with All for One. In the meantime, we have roughly 20 customers signed together with All for One, where we do the conversion the conversion to S4. And all the customers will move at the end to at least to the cloud. Most of the customers will also move to Rise for SAP. That means they will get the license from SAP in a subscription mode, and they will either be on the private cloud edition of SAP, or they will move to a public cloud provider like Microsoft, and then be operated by All for One. That's one side. And then I said in my presentation that our Polish business and also our Latvian business was participating very much on doing S4 implementation in smaller on smaller customer size, not the, let's say, the very low business, but the general business on the SAP side. And there you see a very strong adoption. Adoption means not only buying the new license, but also implementing the new license. When you come to bigger deals, like, for example, Volkswagen, we do the other or the one or the other, let's say, S4 migration right now, together with Accenture in on the one side or with other partners. But the adoption that, for example, Siemens or others are moving directly to Rise now in the short, they are in negotiation, But we will only participate at the end when the customer is moving, then not only signing the SAP contract license, but also going to the execution. So this is what I said before, that the business is increasing, but not in a way, when you look to what SAP announced, they said, okay, we signed 60% new accounts in this area. The 60% new accounts are primarily greenfield implementation. All new accounts are greenfield. We do not provide a lot of, let's say, value when it comes to greenfield. Our strength is to selective data transformation. So our strength is to really get, let's say, customers from ECC to S4. But if a customer comes from any other platforms to SAP, S&P is not, let's say, automatically the partner of choice in this area. But the business is increasing for sure, yep. And I see the pressure from SAP positively, because they know that this is even more important for SAP to get the customer soon on this platform.
Okay, because I think you also mentioned that you are in talks or maybe even in negotiations with SAP about SAP RISE. How can you profit more from this?
Yep, this is ongoing discussion. Yep, that's sure. I just had a call this morning again. This is ongoing discussion. We do business together, so I think I told this now several times. E.ON is a deal where SAP is doing the process implementation and we do all the data migration, for example. We have a couple of other customers where we are working closely together. But then, for example, we do not have, when we go, let's say, when we look at the big, in Germany, the big accounts like Bosch, BASF, Siemens, and others, they are all our customers on the one side, but they are all SAP customers on the other side. And they are all in consideration what they do. Some are deciding we do it wave by wave, business unit by business unit. Some said, okay, we will wait, we will buy maybe the SAP license, but we will not move right now. And some are doing this like Daimler. They do, let's say, a lot of carve-outs, and they do it business unit by business unit. And this is something we have a strategy, which is on the one side, we need to talk directly to the global account manager from SAP so that that they see what value we can contribute to get the customer faster to S4. But we also need to get the agreement with SAP sales, with SAP services, and with SAP the software development part. And this is, I can tell you, this is a very complex beast.
Mm. Okay.
But we make progress, and we get support from all areas in this area. So we just received earlier this week an email from Christian Klein where he said, hey, we are highly interested to accelerate on this partnership. So it's working, but until this gets down to the last employee in the field, it's a long way.
Okay. Thanks. That's from my side.
The next question is by Yannick Siering, Stifel Europe. The line is yours.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my questions. Most have been answered by now. Just two quick follow-ups. You talked about some slipped deals already in Q2. And now you specified two in Q3 and that one should be done in Q4. What about the other one? Should that also be something for Q4 or rather for 2022? And then the second question, just to follow up on the SAP comments. We also saw quite a high number of go live projects. This number was more than 1,300. Usually this is 600 to 700 go lives. And now you said that maybe those are rather smaller customers. So should we expect to see some sort of time lag until we see larger customers also migrating to S4HANA and that will be the time when you will also benefit from this? Maybe some more additional color on this would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So let me start with the first one. The first one is yes, we will. I personally believe we will catch up with most of the slippages from Q3 will be signed in Q4. At least the two bigger ones, which are the 8 million for in Central Europe, they will be both signed. One is the written commitment we have already here, but we need to get the final contract signature because otherwise we cannot book. So, but this will be done. And the second one is, yeah, you are partly right. So it is a lot. I was really surprised how much new customers SAP is winning. This is really good. It's very positive on the one side. But as I said, the new customers are all greenfield projects. You don't need about you don't need let's say a lot of data transformation. You just take over your let's say open items and your customer base and this kind of things, and then you do a greenfield approach because you start anyhow green with a new tool. This is more the business of the classical system integrator. And then on the big side, there are, I would say, most of the big customers are doing some let's say some art of S4 implementation. For example, one big customer here in the south part of Germany, they just do it, let's say, the first implementation for one business unit. Another automotive supplier, he just started his one finance program where we are involved, Audi. So we are part of this deal here, for example. Yeah, but they don't do it in a very big bang. I think Siemens thinks about a very big bang. So we are in connection with Siemens because we do all the carve-outs. But we need to fight in Siemens to be a partner in the S4 area. But they will go, as what I understood, they will go very much with a big. They try to go with a very much big bang area, which this is something they need to look if this is really, let's say, manageable in an enterprise like Siemens. So that means what I can tell you is SAP's interest is to get the customer base secured for S4. That means there's a lot of pressure. And whatever helps SAP to accelerate on this side, they will support as well. And this is our strong, let's say, hope that in 2022, 2023, we see the increased number. What I see the second half here, we saw already an acceleration. But the way from, let's say, from the first discussion until we get the signature, it's not a 6 months, let's say, time. It's more a 12 months time to get it done. But look, E.ON is implementing S4, RWE is implementing S4. So there are, all of the big ones are thinking, we are in discussion with BASF. They think about how do we get from R3 to S4. They looked at that point of time with a partner of us on different options, and we are highly engaged. But we are engaged in the pre-sales phase. We are not engaged right now in signing the deals because this they look at BASF was green. No, then we go to brown. Oh, no, maybe we should go selective. So they are just in finding the best idea how to move this complex business from A to B.
Very helpful. Thank you.
The next question is from Holger Schmidt-Metzler. The line is now open for you.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Now, there are only a few questions left. The first question is with regard to your business mix in the pipeline. We talked now a lot about S4HANA and SAP, but I think the highest proportion of your business is still coming from M&A-related deals. And also, what about cloud shift-related deals? So some insight into the business mix there. And the second question is with regard to your EBIT. If we look at the segment data, almost 50% come from non-segment expenses. That seems to me to be a rather high proportion. It shadows the transparency of the underlying segment profitability. Do you have any plans to allocate more expenses to the individual segments?
Anna, can you start with number two?
Yeah. Yeah, we are working on this to allocate as much to the segments what is possible, but the overall cost, for example, for acquisitions and so on, this is really tough to allocate. But it's a good point. We cannot keep growing in the in this area. We need to really allocate as much as possible. Yeah.
Okay. And then on the business mix, I do not have the final report in front of me, but what I can tell you is, first of all, it's very hard to measure, and we looked at this because we see a lot of deals where we do both at the same time. So we do the S4 and the move. We do the carve out and we go to the cloud with the business we carved out, for example. So that's one part. But what you will see in the future is anyhow, we will change our way how we show this. So we will have the scenarios, which are the carves, the S4, and the move to the cloud and the business landscape optimization. That's one side of the coin. But then we will show in the future also the data management part with the acquisition of DataWatt. We will support the customer earlier and longer. because we will use the solution of DataWatt. Look at, for example, the decommissioning and the archiving part. We have now only in the last four weeks, we have got four opportunities in Asia Pacific where we talk about the decommissioning. But because the customer said, hey, I have in total, I have 28 systems. I only would like to migrate this to at the end to two or three systems. And what do I do with the rest? How can I get the business decommissioned so that they get rid of this license cost and all these kind of things, but I still have access from a compliance and legal point of view? This is what we can now offer. And decommissioning and archiving is close together. So decommissioning is, okay, you don't need to access in normal case anymore. Archiving is, you will access it via the normal SAP GUI or Fiori, so that you can use, let's say, all archive documents as they would like to be on the system, but you don't have it anymore in the database. So it's less operating cost in this area. That's one part. But then we also talk about data management. We talk about this the business to get more, let's say, in the analyze business to move from BV to BV4HANA or to anything which is in relation to a data lake, for example. We support the customer to when he moves from S4 to from ECC to S4 to look at this, let's say, customer coding. How many customer written codes do I have? Do I really need to recode my report, or can I use much more new technology? For example, what is in the market? What can I use from a hyperscaler in terms of reporting? What kind of reporting engines or reporting applications can I access? And therefore, the scenarios are important. And I would say you are right at that point of time. I would not show you cloud separately because we have only a limited amount of deals where we do a pure cloud move. But we have a lot of deals where cloud is, let's say, part of the engagement. And then the CARF and the S4 is more or less in a very close balance.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is by Helmut Zacher, Landesbank Saar. The line is now open.
Hello, thank you very much for the presentation and the opportunity to ask questions. I have a question, Mr. Diesenbacher, regarding page 18, where you show the balance sheet comparison between September 21 and December 20, where you explained that the difference in the current financial liability is mainly due to a reclassification of the now short-term promissory notes. I would have expected that the promissory notes would have been booked as of December 2020 in non-current financial liabilities, and therefore in regard to the reclassification would have expected a decrease in the non-current financial liabilities, which has not happened. Could you give us a few comments on that position, please?
I know.
So sorry, I was on mute and was already answering. So compared to the last fiscal year, we got from the European Investment Bank, and the other one is from the KfW, two other credits, and this went into this line. Okay.
I think we lost the colleague.
I don't know.
Helmut Zacher is still in the line.
My question was answered. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you want to ask a question, please press 0 and 1. There are no further questions, and so I hand back to Marcel Wisko.
Well, yeah, thank you, operator, and thank you all to the listeners for your interest and your participation in this call. Yeah, if there are further questions or missing answers, Investor Relations will be more than happy to answer these. And so we conclude this conference call. Thank you, and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.